Hey, what's going on, No Bad Dog Army? Happy Wednesday. If you're listening to this, you may know if you follow me on Instagram that I am out west. So I just recorded this here in New York, but I am actually out west with my wife and my friends. So we're living out of a van for about 10 days. So make sure you follow me on Instagram for all the fun behind the scenes stuff we're doing, living in the van and being on the road. This is a great episode. It's a shorter episode, only like 40 minutes or so. This is a great episode with a 6-month-old. I think it's definitely a pit bull and a healer mix. So very interesting mix there. Lots of energy going on in that one for sure. But it's a great podcast with the family kind of asking me questions about just basic stuff. Hey, how should we introduce the prong? Should we be using the slip? When did make that change? Why isn't the obedience good outside if it's good inside? So just a lot of basic stuff and just going through some problem solving with a 6-month-old puppy, which is exciting. So I hope you guys enjoy this. If you guys don't know, we are doing a really fun giveaway where I'm coming to your house to train you and your family and your dog anywhere in the United States, unfortunately, except for Alaska and Hawaii. It just takes a little bit longer to get there. All you guys, if you want that opportunity for a chance to win that, all you guys have to do if you're not an existent No Bad Dog member is go over and subscribe to the No Bad Dog All Access package, which is $39.99 a month, and you have the pro team. It's a new tier that we've developed, and we're doing tons of cool giveaways, and of course you get access to all the unreleased footage and all the fun stuff we're doing behind the scenes that aren't uploaded to YouTube. So it's a great thing, and for a chance to win, and it's great support too if you guys just want to support the podcast. These are all for free. If you want to support the YouTube channel, those are all for free. If you guys just want to support No Bad Dogs, you can go up and sign up for the All In All Access package. And that gives you unlimited fun stuff as well as access to the pro team, which is exciting. And at the end of May and at the end of June, so you have all month of May, all month of June to enter to win. All you guys have to do is enter to win, and that will get you access to it. And to enter, all you have to do is sign up for the All Access Members Club. Again, I hope you guys are well. Hope you guys enjoy this podcast. And make sure you listen to the end because I'm going to be answering some of your dog training questions. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks. So what's going on?
So we have a new puppy. He is a 6-month old Australian cattle dog / pit bull terrier.
Interesting.
He's beautiful.
Awesome.
So my daughter wanted a dog. I already have like a Chihuahua Jack Russell mix, and he's like 7 years old. But with this new puppy, because he's bigger, it's clearly pointed out how much we did not train the little dog that we've had for like 7 years. Mm-hmm. We were just like, oh, he's little. He could do whatever he wants. So my daughter we're trying to train the big dog. And I guess we just have...
The Aussie mix?
Yes, okay. The Aussie mix. I think we're just going to need to train both of them. But the Aussie mix just really kind of is there... Questions, Mama. Like a step by step. I've watched a ton of your videos, and so has my daughter. But she just needs to hear from you, I think.
Okay. So what are you guys struggling with this 6-month old terrier Aussie mix?
I think it's just getting started on the obedience. I think my daughter's a little bit frustrated, and we don't know if the leash, like a slip leash, is good enough.
Okay.
Because I feel like it slips down his neck because I don't know.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah. So, okay. So we're talking about obedience. We're talking about a puppy. Let me ask you two questions. What type of training have you done so far, and what equipment have you been using?
Just a slip leash, and kind of just recently. Just barely getting started on, like, he sits. He stays. We're doing a little bit of like place command, and a little bit of heel,
okay,
like walking, but I can't say it's been anything consistent.
No, I get it. Okay, so you've done a little bit of healing, you've done a little bit of place, and mm-hmm. what type of slip do you have?
So I had ordered one on Amazon and it sucked. So then I ordered the one that you guys sell. So I have the one that
Perfect.
And so that's the one. And I like the fact that it's like a shorter, It's like a shorter leash and like a tab doesn't move, like it really does stay in place. But I think it still kind of slips down his neck because the few times that I used it, I'm like, I feel like I'm choking him out.
Because
He does pull and he is like super distracted. Like if we take him on a walk, he's
lizards
and bunnies and birds, like anything that's a bee that's flying, he's distracted and wants to go chase it.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds pretty typical for the breeds that are mixed into that pup.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the slip leash. So the slip leash is high and tight, right? Right behind the dog's ears. What is the dog's name?
His name is Zuko.
Zuko?
Yes.
Okay. So how are you guys introducing the heel right now? Like, what's the environment like? What's the deal?
Right now, we've kind of just done it inside of our house. We tried a little bit outside, but I think it's too... There's too much distraction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just kind of back and forth around our apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So are you having trouble with that, or are you just having trouble with when you go out to reality?
When we go out to reality.
Okay.
Because inside, he kind of pays attention. He's still a little like, he wants to play. He wants to like grab the leash and start biting on it.
Yeah. Okay.
All over the place.
Okay. So let's walk through it. You're got your slip.
Yeah.
Zuko's in front of you. You pull the slip on. You put it behind his ears. Mm-hmm. Now, then what?
He tries to bite my hand.
He tries to bite my daughter's hand. He tries to play with it.
You start walking.
Okay, so there's a couple. Yeah, let's just start there. That makes sense. Okay, so with that being said, there's the slip leash is on, and you're starting off with this kind of biting on the leash or your hand. Mm-hmm. That's where you would immediately say leave it, and then you'd use the leash to correct the behavior. So you just pop it to the side.
Okay.
So what a lot of people do is they do what the dog actually wants you to do to make it worse is they scream, they holler, they react, and that's exactly what will happen is if a dog's like, hey, I want your attention, or hey, I want to play, or hey, I see you touching me on my neck, which means I want to play with you, I want to do something, I want to be a dog, I want to react, and then you scream or you yell, you say no, stop, don't, you pull your hand back, you make it a game, and then the dog just tries to get you again. So your hand goes back, they chase your hand, they bite your hand, they air snap at your hand, they try to get it, and then you're just frustrated and you're vocalizing and you're doing all this stuff.
Right.
Okay. So with that being said, those are the types of things that you have to be very just understanding about and mindful about, that when your dog is doing these things, what you don't want to do is you don't want to do what a lot of people do. Do you guys do that when that happens? Is that the deal? Yeah.
Like, do reacting? Yeah, I guess.
When he bites me, I'm just like, oh my
God. Like, she's just like, leave. Like, yeah, she does. She's just like, ow, like, leave me alone. Like, leave it. Leave the leash. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what they want you to do. So you have to be very conscious and very mindful of that. So don't do those things. Don't react. Because the dog, like I said, is coming up and saying, hey, can I get your attention, or do you want to play? And then you're reacting, you're playing. That's what you're doing.
Right.
So you have to be very mindful of that. So don't do that. Don't react. So you just be calm. Uh-huh. You basically want to mirror, like, what you want him to do is what you should be doing, which is just, relaxing, being calm. Don't freak out. Don't make a big deal. You're just very assertively, if he starts to bite on your hands or starts to get mouthy on your hands, you just simply take your leash, leave it, correction. Don't pull your hands back because that'll make it a game.
Okay, so just pop it. Okay.
Yeah, just pop the leash and just tell him to leave it very assertively. So don't do this either. Don't go, Zuko, leave it.
Right.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Because the reason is because your voice inflection matters the most. So think about it like with people. Think about it with kids. Think about it with dogs, right? They understand, who's a good boy, right? The way that you say that, they're like, oh, this is exciting. Or Zuko, bad, right? And then, so you just very neutrally leave it, correction. And then he goes again, leave it, correction. And that's where things will start to get better for you guys, and your relationship will start to get better as well. And you'll start to have a little bit more weight. Your relationship will have a little bit more weight. Your leave it or your no will have more weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, totally.
So that's where you start with that. So there's that. So I'll walk you through the rest of this. And then, okay, so after that goes on and you correct him, and I want you guys to try this tonight when you're done with this, is you just put it on, you pull it nice and snug, and that's your communication. So dogs don't understand English, obviously. So right. You're going to use your leash to say, leave it. So you're going to say, leave it, and then you're going to give him just a pop on the leash if he decides to continue to react towards your hands or anything else, really.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Moving on. So you put the leash on, and then how do you start your healing process? How do you start this healing stuff? What do you do?
Walk and say heal, and then do an inside turn.
Okay.
But so, like, start from sitting, or?
Oh. I guess just however he's positioned.
Okay. It's not a trick question, so it's okay. So when you're okay, so you say Zuko heal and you move forward, mm-hmm. and then you do an inside turn, so you turn inside to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do?
Continue walking on the forward of the mat, mm-hmm. and then once I get to a certain point, I turn inside again and say,
we're
the kind of
just doing like little circles, and I'm telling her, like, okay, you have to praise him, like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you're doing a good job.
Exactly. So that is an important piece, is making sure that we're telling them good heal. You know, telling them good heal, making sure we're looking forward, our arms are down, we're relaxed, all the stuff that you guys hear me and see me talk about in my videos. So
yes,
that's what you'll be doing, is just heal, good heal if he's doing well, kind of neutrally, mm-hmm. good heal, buddy. And then as you're moving forward, you're doing some directional changes. So that sounds good. The only thing I would add in is make sure you have a good break. You guys know what that is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So where you're going wrong is when you go outside. Is that correct?
That's where we're having the most difficulty. And I can't say, because of that, we haven't taken him out, like, just on the slip leash. Mm-hmm. We have like a front clipping kind of harness thing that feels like we have more control, only because I feel like I'm not choking him out.
Yeah. Like, he still pulls when he sees stuff.
Right. But we're not choking him because it's not on his neck.
Right. No, yeah, totally. So. I get it. You definitely don't want to choke him. And I think there's a level of skill and there's a level of practice. Mm. When you're using the slip leash, like, there's so many, you know, every dog has a different kind of sensitivity level. Every dog has a different thing, right? So when you're using the slip leash, you have to be pretty skillful at handling, you know, your animal, and they have to really mm-hmm. understand what you're asking them to do. So that's important, is just understanding that when you do have a dog, especially, you know, a very prey driven dog, your dog is very busy, very young,
mm-hmm.
wants to chase anything that moves. Doesn't matter if it's a leaf or a squirrel. So mm-hmm. yeah. So you guys have to just make sure that your skill sets are good enough until you get to that point of going outside. And there's a lot of gray area. That's what you guys are dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Is there's a gray area of, well, okay, that makes sense. If I'm not good enough to heal him yet, or he doesn't know heal well enough yet on the slip, mm-hmm. and he's choking himself out and he's just pulling, that's where a lot of dog owners have the hard time, is like, well, he's got to go out, we got to walk him. And that's true.
Right.
But what I would do is, in order to set yourself up for success, is you can get yourself a plastic pinch collar or a prong collar to help the in-between. And that's gonna be a safer collar to use instead of choking himself out. Is he like long-haired, more like an Aussie, or is he short-haired, more like
a... No, he's short-haired like a pit bull. And I think he just has a double coat that the cattle dogs have. Like the kind of double coat, but he's a short-haired.
Okay. So you might want to, you can start off with the prong or not. So the prong itself, and whatever you're going to be using, you just have to make sure it's safe for you guys. And I think that would be safer to use when you're out, because you might not have the skill sets, and he may not understand what you want him to do, well enough. to get him to go out to this on the slip in a realistic environment.
Yeah.
Which is common. It happens. So again, what I would suggest is you could go out and use the prong or the plastic pinch collar, and you can use that to your advantage instead of using the slip, because you just might not be there, and that's okay to do. And that's going to be a safer thing because two reasons: A, he's not going to pull, and B, he's not going to choke himself out. That's why those tools were developed, especially the prong collar, is it's going to give you that control. So it's okay to jump from the slip to the prong with a 6-month-old dog going outside and he's choking himself out. So that's what I would do, is I would kind of step back a little bit. I would get the 2.25 prong collar, or if you're going to go the plastic pinch route, I would do the small plastic pinch. And really the difference is it just depends on the coat of the dog. If you have a dog that has no coat, it's just like one little piece of guard hair coat, like a boxer or a vishla, you might want to use like a plastic pinch because it's not going to be rubbing as much. If you have a dog that has double coat, like you said your dog does, you might want to use like the prong collar, the 2.25, and then get a safety clip. You got to make sure you have a safety clip when you're using any 2.25. And then that way, when you're out, you would transfer the same. You'd start off inside. And that's just going to give you more power steering when you start to go out into more realistic environments. And the goal of the prong collar or any type of training that we do is to make sure that we're teaching the dog the behavior. We're not relying on the equipment for the training forever. We're just relying on the equipment in the beginning to teach.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like studying for a test. It's like,
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, so that, because we were talking about getting a prong collar and I was like, we could start with the prong. And then once we have the control and he learns a little bit better, like, then maybe we can flip it to change to like a slip leash.
Yeah. You can bounce between the pieces of equipment. That just makes the most sense. But when you're having problems and you feel like it is equipment oriented, where you feel like, oh, no, he knows what he should be doing inside. He walks in slow motion and is super engaged, and directional changes are good. Inside turn, outside turn, the dog is a whip. And then you go outside and everything fails. That's where you're just going to move to a different piece of equipment.
Right.
That's all. And it's the same thing. I mean, it's like any type of equipment. Doesn't matter if it's sunglasses or snowmobiling outfits. I mean, it's just, if your environment changes, you're going to have to change. Say, oh, I need this now, or I need this now.
Right.
And that'll help you. It'll lessen that choking and that gagging and all that stuff of the dog basically just choking themselves out. So yeah, that's what I would say is if you are having that problem on that transition and the dog knows the behavior, but still not listening, that's probably what you should do realistically.
Okay. Cool. Go ahead.
When he wants to play, it's not during like training, like when he's fighting, not during training, what do we do then? Do we do the same thing?
What do you
Should
mean
we just
play?
Keep the, like when he wants attention and he comes up to me and starts biting.
So he uses her as a chew toy.
Got
he
it.
Does. He uses me as a chew toy, and I try to like get his attention on his actual toys that I'll play with him with, but he just really likes my hands and my arms. And so what do I do then?
Well, first thing is because you've taught him, you've conditioned him for so long that it's just going to take time for you to disengage. Because if he comes up to you and he starts chewing on you and playing with you, and then you're like, don't leave it, stop. And then you react, like, he just knows that if he wants attention or he wants any type of affection from you, all he's got to do is just go bite on your hand or your leg or something. So there's that. I mean, dogs are very conditioned animals. I mean, think about, like, if they hear a chip bag, they don't know that chips are inside unless you pay them, unless you give them something, right? They don't, whatever. I did that with my dog. I didn't give her anything ever from us, and she just never cared. We were cooking dinner. She never cared. The other dogs would be begging. She just never cared because she never got paid. She never got scraps. She never got a chip. She never got any crumbs. Like, she just didn't.
Right. Yeah.
And anyway, my point is the dog is now conditioned. So whenever the dog comes up and says, hey, like, I want attention, and you ignore the dog, and then he bites your hands or your whatever, that's what's happening. So you have
and
to
then have attention with that.
So you might, in the beginning, you might leave the slip on in the house when you guys are home. You can leave the slip on, and then if he comes over and starts to, you know, do that type of stuff, you can say, hey, leave it, and just give him those corrections and let him know that that's not okay. But the other thing that you really have to understand is there's a reason why he's doing this stuff, and it's because he's bored.
Okay. So when he comes up to me for attention and starts biting me and then I correct him, do I just put him into a sit and then have him calm down and then play with him?
No, I don't think so. I think that may cause a little bit more frustration and make it worse. I think if he comes up and says, hey, I'm bored, and then he tries to play with you and then you tell him to sit down, I think that that'll make it worse. I think you just have to teach him. But again, he's crying out for attention because he's bored. Yeah. So you have to think he's not getting what he needs right now, his mental stimulation isn't good. It's not enough, right? Yeah, so the training or, you know, like my dog right now, it's raining. And so we usually play Chuck It with her, and she at least goes on a walk once a day, sometimes twice. And she's just, every time we go to the door, she's bouncing up and down. She wants to go out, but it's like raining, so we're not going to let her out yet. But my point is like, she's telling me, hey, I need to go out. I mean, it is a want to, but she's a working dog and she does need that release. So if I can go out and chuck the ball for her for 15 minutes in between my meetings and then she's exhausted, that'll help with her. So my point is if she's coming up and that's why I tell people, if your dog is chewing on the couch, getting into mischief, chewing up toys, chewing up socks, whatever, that's all because they're bored. For the most part, unless you're going through teething options. But you just have to realize that, you know, it's the same thing with a dog that runs away. Right? Being an animal control officer back in the day, I would always have to pick up the same dog all the time because they just kept running away because they were bored. People just throw them in a back fence and say, hey, pee and poop and be a dog. That's it. It's all we care about. And the dog is desperately reaching out for something else to do. So jumping
incorporate more play.
Mental stimulation.
Like fetch mental, because he does get, we walk 5 to 6 miles every day.
Right.
He's getting walked.
Yep, that's it. So mental stimulation. So it would be very, very, very easy. It would be something along the lines of asking him place, heel, sit. So getting him to think, asking him to do something, getting him to think. Say, hey, I want you to do this. Okay, now I want you to do this. Now I want you to do this. Now I want you to do this. And you're just making him tick, 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 and think and think. And that's what you should be doing, you know, when you're doing this, is really make sure that you're teaching him what he can and can't do.
So, like, if he starts trying to bite her whenever and we haven't gone on our walk yet, she can go straight into turning that into like a training.
Yeah, I would. I would just, because he's just, you outlet it, right? Again, like a dog that's chewing on the couch is bored. Like, they don't do that if they're tired. Right. They don't do that if they've gotten released of all that stuff that they need to release. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you want to just say, oh, it's a reminder to you. Okay. But again, like, don't make it an on-demand thing. So if he comes up and starts chewing on you, don't put on the leash and start training. Just know. Yeah. You know that, okay, well, makes sense. He hasn't really been worked today, so he's going to be more fired up.
Right. Okay. Awesome. So, okay. I think I think those are kind of like the questions that we have for him. I have a question for you, though, for our other dog.
Mm-hmm.
So the little one we've had for 7 years.
It's been eight.
And, he goes, you know, the crazy chihuahua, he turns into a little crazy chihuahua when the new dog comes, like, to lay on our, like, put his head on our lap or wants to play, or, like, they seem to interact together. We take them on walks together, they're fine. I've taken them in the car, they're fine together. But anytime we come into the house together and the new dog is playing or wants to do something with us, or even eating, I guess sometimes the little one just gets like all crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have to ask yourself, what do you want that dog to do? Like, that's a question I would ask you, is what do you want that dog to do?
Not be crazy.
Just ignore him. I just want him to, like, they don't have to be playmates. I just would like it if they would ignore each other.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
The puppy wants to play. The big dog is like the little one, the older one is like, sometimes yes.
most of the time he's just gets annoyed and is like barking, and I don't know when he's
and napping
it. And kind of nipping it. And so I don't know if he, it starts off as trying, as like wanting to play too, because I think the little one, the Chihuahua older dog wants to play too, but then it quickly turns to annoyance, and then he's like aggressive, I guess. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, I think you have to ask yourself how much control you have over the little dog too. Because you're not, like, ask, you know, that's what it comes down to. It's like, okay, how much control off-leash do we have over this dog? And if the answer is zero to minimal, then that's the outcome you're going to get, regardless of what you want the dog to do differently. You see what I'm saying?
So just train him the same way, like, do obedience.
Well, you have to teach him what you want. Like, you want your dog to walk nicely on the leash, so you're teaching heel. So if you want your dog to stop barking and freaking out, then you have to counter that with something. Leave it, place, whatever. You got to do something. I mean, that's the answer to anybody's real problem with their dog is you got to ask yourself, well, what do you want your dog to do differently? How do you want your dog to react differently? What do you want him to do? Well, I'm going to stop barking. Okay, what command do you have on that? Nothing. So boom, there you go. And then even if you did have a leave it, I would say, okay, you have a leave it command. Great. How good is it? Boom, gone. So there's all these fallouts that people have is you can't, there's no abracadabra. My dog is reactive. Right. My dog is reactive to the other dog when the puppy comes up and wants to hang out with us. The Chihuahua's barking and freaking out and you're pulling it back. You're lifting it up. You're moving it to the other side of the couch, put the leash on and start actively working on the things that you don't want your dog to do.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know, because other than that, you're just shooting in the dark. You're just hoping something works. No, stop. It's just a puppy. Don't. What's wrong with you? Please. What are you doing? You're annoying. Stop. Like, none of that matters, right? You're just hoping, you're just kind of pulling the lever, like, hopefully something works. And the reality is you have to actively work on, again, somebody calls me, my dog won't come back. My dog won't walk nicely on a leash. How good is your recall and how good is your heel?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. Okay, well then you can't complain about the problems you're having if you haven't worked on what you want the dog to do alternatively. So I'm getting technical with you guys, but the reality is.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you just have to work on, say, okay, leave it is going to be the application. And then the send away, go to your bed. Those two things you work on individually for a couple weeks until you get to a good point, and there you go.
Perfect. We actually have a barrier between the two right now. Mm. When would we take that down?
Once he's trained better?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, I mean, it's just like having kids in the house. I mean, you have to make sure that you guys have control and you're fair. You have to monitor things. You have to, and I think the other thing is you have to really make sure that you're being fair with the two individual dogs and you're sticking up for them and you're advocating for them. And so if you have the little yip yapping, I mean, see the thing with like Chihuahuas, like I love them, but the problem is a lot of people don't treat them like dogs. They treat them like
he's a baby
teddy bears, right? So then they end up being yip yapper. That's why they get that name, right? They get yip yapper name because people treat them like that. It's the same thing as a reactive dog on the leash. It's just roof roof instead of right, and it's not so, but it's the same exact thing. When you get a dog out that's also barking out the window, it's barking. It's just one is really small and one is really big, but it's the same dog. One can cause severe injury and the other one really can't. So a lot of people don't take it as seriously, but it's the same problem. It's the same dog. They have the same DNA as a wolf. So it's the same shit. But you just have to make sure that when you're working on it, you're advocating. So maybe get the puppy on a leash, get the other dog on a leash, and start teaching them, hey, if the puppy comes up, because the puppy's going to come up and sit next to us or like wanting attention, the other dog's going to have to learn how to deal with that stuff. And if he's sitting on your lap or right next to you, that's a problem. If you don't have good obedience, like leave it, that's another problem. And if you can't reinforce it and hold the dog accountable when you do say leave it, there's the other problem. Putting just say, hey, you're on the ground. You know, these are the types of things that a lot of people make these mistakes on with smaller dogs is they put them at this advantage point and they expect the dog to act the same as the one that's on the ground. And it doesn't always work that way because they're at two different dogs for you guys.
Yeah. That makes sense. And the little one, because he's little, he's like always had free rein.
Yeah. Right. So he's not used to that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, that works. So I think one other question. Mm-hmm. So my daughter doesn't want to give, she wants to minimize the treats as much as possible because she's like, he doesn't sit unless I give him a treat, which is not true anymore. But she's afraid of over
treating. Like, I don't want him to be dependent on treats for him.
But they're still important when you're starting out, right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, so treats is like an external reward system. The treat is going to be, listen, I use treats every day. I use positive reinforcement every day with my clients, with my personal dogs, with everything in life. We have to reward new stuff. But it's important to understand that the treat is just like the sugar on top. It's not anything that you have to depend on over time. It's something that you really have to understand is kind of like an extra reward. So if they do the behavior and they do it well, your job is to pay the dog for the behavior, right? But it's the overall thing is teaching the dog the behavior just in general. Sit is sit. Maybe you get paid, maybe you don't get paid. But you, again, I would agree, like you don't want to be dependent on the exterior motivator.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like paying for your friends. It's like, hey, who wants to come hang out? I'll give you $100. It's like, are they really there to be friends with you? Or are they just there because they want, you know, your $100?
Right.
So that's really the shtick with that is you definitely want to use positive reinforcement. You definitely want to use some sort of external thing to start the process and to teach the dog certain behaviors, but you don't wanna depend on it. And that's where, again, like you asking the dog to do a behavior and then doing it, good sit, good down, good place, good heel. That's what it comes down to.
That's the reward.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they get food, great. And if they don't, then, you know, that's.
You can sporadically put it in. It's not like every single one, but you do need to put something in.
Yeah. It's called a randomized food reward or something. And essentially it also motivates the dog to work because they don't know if they're going to get paid or they're not. So it might make them more eager. Am I going to get paid? Okay. I think get paid. But you know, what a lot of people do is they make a mistake. And I see this all day long is they predicate their entire obedience routine off of food. And when you, again, pay for your friends every day, then when the money runs out, they're not going to show up. They're like, I'm over it. I don't really need to be here. There's no sense in this. So anyway, you really have to make sure that when you're doing this, that you be very careful how you're rewarding the dog, you know? So make it more of your voice. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you go sit, good sit. And I would say one out of every four times he gets paid.
Okay.
With the food.
Yeah. And then.
Any more questions about Papi Chulo?
About Papi Chulo? No, we just have to teach him the same way that we teach Zuko.
Is there a difference between pressure and a correction?
Yeah, direction versus correction. Yeah. So when we're talking about like placing, right? So when we ask a dog to go to the place and they don't really know it or it's new or whatever the case may be, we are going to use, like if we're using the slip leash for an example, we're going to be using the slip leash to just give a little bit of pressure. Say, hey, come on over here, buddy. And that's the difference between like a correction would be like a pop. It'd be like, hey, quit the crap. Like that's bad.
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't do that. And so that's the difference. And that's what you want to, like if a dog doesn't know behavior well, so say you're doing place, perfect example, Zuko place. They're like, what the hell's that? Never heard that. But you have food and they're like, you know, and they're excited about the food. That's where you can then a little bit of pressure. So you just ask the dog to place a little bit of pressure on the leash. They get there. Right. And then you shut the pressure off and then you're holding that place essentially until you then say break. So if the dog tries to get off, we're not going to correct the dog necessarily and pop them and say, hey, pay attention or don't do that because they don't really know the behavior yet. So all you're going to be doing is just saying, you're going to be using the leash pressure to kind of guide the dog back on. So it's a good question, but that's how that rolls.
Do you have any questions, Jasmine?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll just look at you guys' notes. So I wrote a lot down.
No, we didn't write that much down. We're just listening. But I appreciate every single thing that you do. And I appreciate your videos because you're so consistent in every single thing that I'm like.
Oh, thank you.
This is what he's going to tell you. I've watched lots of his videos.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty, at this point, it's, and that's kind of my job really is to, I mean, I try to think of new sayings or new comparables, but yeah, I mean, everything's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, no worries.
Greatly, greatly appreciated.
Awesome.
Do you have other questions?
How do we get him to drop it?
Like how do leave we it? Like drop?
Like if he has something in his mouth.
Yeah.
And I want him to drop it. How do I teach him to release?
Well, it's an interesting thing, right? So you have to, there's a couple different ways you can do it. Is you can do what I actually did. What I typically do is I will kind of transfer. So I'll have something equal or greater or even the same. And what I'll do is I'll just ask the dog to out or drop, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have something equal or greater next to them. And then if they drop it, they get paid with that. And so, that's something that you can try, and that really helps the dog understand. And then essentially, just like anything else that we teach, if the dog does well with it, and they understand that dropping it means to drop it, then you can start using some pressure if they decide to say, "I don't really want to drop it."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's just like taking a reward, and then the dog saying, "Like, I'm not dropping this because this is great," and then you have to then say, drop, and then you have to pay them with something else alternatively. So they have to open their mouth. You have to that should be your first goal when you're teaching leave it or drop. I mean, is you have to get them to open their mouth. So you have to get creative on how to open their mouth. So if you have another ball, if you have a squeaker, if you have a treat, yes, good drop. Yes, good drop. So they condition that every time you say drop, they get paid. So it almost becomes muscle memory at that point. You say drop and then poop, they open their mouth. It just like unlocks it. Yeah.
As opposed to with our hands for it.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it's tough to do that. And if they're dropping like a ball or something fun, what you want to do is when they do drop something, you immediately make it fun again. So you'll take that ball and you'll just chuck it. So don't sit there and hold it, right? Don't say, "Hey, sit," or something like that. As soon as they drop what they have in their mouth that they really like and give you the reins to it, you just make it happen again for them.
Got it. Oh, okay. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Would part of the obedience, like would a product of the obedience be more engagement on the walks?
A product of more obedience or better obedience?
Better obedience.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think a lot of the engagement comes from the dog looking at you for direction. So it's a balance of I don't want to get in trouble and I also want to get paid. And I also want to do what you want me to do. So, but it depends on the dog, right? Like my dog Lakota is a very engaged dog with me when I have her out, simply because she knows that I give her what she needs. So she's like, "Where's the ball? Where's the frisbee? You need." She wants me to activate the things that she likes, and that's all she cares about in the whole world is just that activation. It's all she cares about. It's the only thing she could ever care about. So when I have her out and there's a ball present, she's just like, "Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? Yes, yes, yes. Can I have it? Can I have it? Yes, can I have it?" And so it's a great question, but engagement is kind of predicated off of your training, the dog that you have and your relationship. And really, you know, when you're out, the relationship should be still between you two and your dog, you know, but again, it just depends on the dog, right? Because if you bring a therapy dog out, like it's the opposite. They should be actually paying attention to everybody else but you. So it just depends on what you're actually looking for. But I think for most people on average, I would just say that better obedience means a nice loose leash until you say break. And I think that that's realistically what you should be looking for.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's what we want. Go ahead.
Is there any command for like ignoring other people? Because when we go on walks, remember that one time we went on a walk and the guy was on a bike? He tried to like excite the dog.
And when we go on walks, and because this dog is really pretty and he has like the straight ears that stick straight up like a cattle dog. He has like green, like blue eyes. like icy blue eyes. Yeah. So he's really pretty. So people are always like staring at him. Sometimes they're like, come up trying to get his attention. I'm just like, can you leave my dog alone? Like I've told people, don't talk to him. Leave him alone.
Like, but like when they come up to him, they try to like excite him and he's a really excitable dog. Mm-hmm. So he gets like any type of attention. He's just like all over that person. He'll lunge, he'll jump around, he'll flip on his back. Everything. And so is there any like command or way to like just have him ignore them and just like walk away and then I'll give him the attention?
Well, I think it's again is it's about advocating for your dog for people who are going to want to, I guess, unsolicitedly pet your dog or want to ask you to pet your dog or whatever. And that's something that, you know, it's just like with kids, right? Like when you go out, somebody comes up and says, hey, you want a lollipop? You're like, excuse me. No. Not yours. We don't do that. So that's where you kind of have to step in and again advocate, and it's discretionary. I mean, some people might like, yeah, say please, right? Whatever. But you just have to make sure that you're kind of gatekeeping those types of things because you're the owner. So when you're out, your dog doesn't know any better or different than whatever, you know. So if somebody's coming up to pet your dog and you don't want them to, your dog's not going to politely say, no, thank you, sir. You have to say, like, oh, he's in training. Sorry. We're just working on ignoring people, actually. Like, just, I think that's the nicest thing to say is, like, oh, we're in training. What kind of training? Ignoring strangers. You know, you just have to, because people are just relentless sometimes. And you're just like, really? Even though you said don't, they're just, they need it in writing. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, that's what I would do is just advocate and, just make sure that you tell people like, oh, my dog's in training, you know, sorry.
Okay. Or get one of those like little vest things that says leave me alone.
Yeah. But even that, it's still people are.
They are. And I've told people like, don't talk to him. Don't do that. Like one man was like trying to call him. I'm like, can you not? Leave my dog alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course you are like that.
Well, yeah. Don't talk to my dog.
I know, I'm with you.
Okay. Any other questions? I appreciate all of your answers and your answers. I can't tell you that enough.
Yeah, no worries. It was nice to meet you guys.
Any other questions? No?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you have any questions about him eating food?
About him eating food, yeah. But I feel like it all falls back down to obedience.
Yes. Okay.
She's just bringing that up because she made a plate of she left a plate of cookies on the counter and he ate them off the counter when he was by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Just comes down to. Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, also too, you put a plate of food where a 6-month-old puppy can get to, and you expect him to just walk by it instead of be interested. I mean, you know, those are kind of a hard ask, you know, at that point in his life.
Okay.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, like I said, it's a pleasure to chat with you guys. I wish you the best of luck and thanks for all the support. Sounds like you guys are watching my videos and all that fun stuff. So thank you.
Yes, a ton. And we rewatch a ton. So thank you. Thank you for all of your help.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
No worries.
Tons of people need it, so.
Yeah, they do.
Included. Cool. Okay, I think that was it. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right, thanks.
All right, guys, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you guys, you've reached the end of the podcast, and I'm going to get into these questions. This is from Hobbinrud. Hey, Tom, 100 out of 10 podcast, you drastically changed the game for me and my dogs. That's amazing. My question is for you about the slip leash. I'm confused on how to administer a proper correction, how to administer leash pressure, and just how to use it in specific with my leash. It's my understanding that the leash falls somewhere between a flat collar and a prong collar in terms of intensity. Yeah, that's true. So the slip leash, kind of like in this topic that in this podcast, we talked about the difference between a correction and direction. The slip leash is kind of just a pop, just a, hey, pay attention, hey, pay attention. Now, every single dog is going to have a different sensitivity level. And in this case, in this podcast, we were talking about just a 6-month-old dog. So maybe getting away with a 2.25 if we feel like the slip leash doesn't mean anything. But yeah, that's exactly what it is the slip is just a pop just to get the dog's attention. It's a correction. It should be high and tight right behind the dog's ears. We typically have them on our website, but we also sell out of them every single time we get them, no matter how many of them we get. So we are actively working on somebody to build our slip leashes at a higher volume. Trust me, I know it's frustrating. It is for us too. But that's pretty much what it does. I think the most important thing with the slip is just understanding that it's a pop, not a pull. And the slip leash has to be right behind the dog's ears in order for it to actually work. So I hope that that helps. Okay, the next one is from Brookie Marie 3, Incredible Insights and Solutions. I love Tom's straightforward, get it done business approach for dog behavior. There's not much more I can say except listen for yourself. I only wish I started listening a few years ago when I started having the issue with my dogs. I have three dogs, two Chains, female, Larry, male, and Herbie, male. All around 10 pounds, 5 years old, got them in that order. The two males fight sometimes. And I'm assuming Chihuahuas, Chains, I'm not familiar. Larry is on guard, regulating the household, and is a resource guarder. I've been working with him for a while with different trainers and classes and research I've done on my own. He's improved, but it still happens. They don't bite usually, but they make a lot of noise and it's traumatic for Herbie and stresses out the entire household, including Larry. Examples of triggers for Larry are food. Yes, I separate them when they eat. And whenever they're around, they get a chance of it happening. We're separating them. When someone comes into the house and gives Herbie attention, when Larry sees another dog, he might nip or start to fight with Herbie. If Herbie makes a sudden movement, like running or playing with me, or Herbie moves from the couch unexpectedly, I don't know. And I hate the impact it has on Herbie. And I hate that Larry is on edge most of the time, and I don't want humans to get hurt in the process. So what I would say is it sounds like Larry is on edge and he's policing. That's what I call policing. I would get yourself like a little slip leash and just work on kind of correcting some of that behavior. So if you're playing with your other dog, or your other dog is running around and playing and getting excited, and then any of the dogs are getting in this police mode, that's where you can just say leave it, and you start kind of correcting that out and then rewarding the dog for the good behavior. Because it's kind of like he has too much control power. He has too much control over the dogs, and that's not really what you want. You really want to make sure that you're moving forward with just teaching the dog that that's not appropriate behavior. So that's what I would do. Thank you for the question. Last one is Sue's Pets, Pete's. Excuse me. I am thrilled with the advice and educational insight I get from Thomas' podcast. I have been a dog owner for all of my life and work with many trainers from the areas and expertise and continue to learn from my pups and trainers. Tom's approach is realistic, sensible, and a proven method. I especially appreciate his honesty and straightforwardness of all the topics. I have a 9-year-old Doberman we rescued at 5 months old. He is very sensitive and loving, but we are having an issue. We live next door to my niece. Our yards are separated by a fence and gates, but she has a blue pit who is a love, but in the past she has barked aggressively through the fence at our Dobie. They were raised together, so not sure why he started being territorial towards our dog. One day our dog decided he wasn't going to take it anymore and went back at him. Now we have to avoid them being outside at the same time because it gets really bad. They go after it through the fence, and it gets scary. Her trainer told them that the Dobie is like that. And as the dog gets older, the dog is not aggressive to any other dog. He is good greeter on leash. Having come from an abusive situation, he never learned how to play or requires a lot of socialization. Our last pup who was raised by him taught him how to play and was very patient with him. Unfortunately, he passed away in April 2021 from lymphoma, age 7. That sucks. We adopted a new pup to help us all heal. What do you recommend? I think, Susan, it sounds like the fence is the problem. So I think that the fence is probably creating a lot of this tension. I think that them being held back and not being able to see each other is the problem. So what I would recommend is honestly just seeing if you guys can maybe introduce them outside of the fence, like on a walk or something, out of the context. So that's what I would suggest trying to see if that works, to just see if it is the fence. Alternatively, it's going to take two to tango. So if you're out with your dog and the pit bull is being reactive, you're not going to be able to tell your Dobie to like not care. So you guys are going to have to work together on the leash reactivity for sure, in order for that to really be fair and for it to really be successful. So that's what I would recommend, is just try to figure it out to see if it is the actual fence or if it is each other, and then go from there. So I hope that helps. Thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to go leave your review for next episode. Okay, bye.